Some say the release of a University of Hawaii survey about sexual misconduct this week couldn't have been better timed. A Hollywood sex scandal and the Golden Globes' focus on the issue sets the stage, keeping the attention on hashtag MeToo and after MeToo social media campaigns. That survey was triggered after UH turned up on a list of colleges whose response to sexual harassment complaints was lacking. All this week, we've heard how the survey establishes a baseline to track incidents and attitudes. But it was the domestic violence responses that startled some, not just because they were higher than the national norm, but also because it was across the UH system. So what do we do about it? We sat down with Jennifer Rose, the head of the UH Office of Institutional Equity.
To his credit, President Lasner, this was a huge priority for him. I mean, he is a researcher himself, and he was really intent on getting baseline data that we needed. You may not know this, but domestic violence is not an area that college campuses had been paying that much attention to. There were some federal mandates that required nationally for universities to take down data on not just domestic violence, but how we actually intervene or what kinds of services that we provide. You know, to his credit, he wanted a comprehensive look. This is one of the first surveys that looked at sexual harassment, stalking, sexual violence, and domestic violence in a comprehensive manner, as well as looked at perceptions of risk, awareness of resources, awareness of reporting functions. So not just the prevalence, but the true climate. And President Lasner did want all of that. And then we were very fortunate that we had the support of the legislature to fund us. So we received funding, G funds, that opened up my office, which is the Office of Institutional Equity. It's a system-wide office that supports all the 10 campuses in their Title IX and Violence Against Women infrastructure for reporting. So then we had the resources to do it, and we wanted to make sure that we did it well. And we're pretty proud of this 216-page report.
And the domestic violence issue is something that kind of took everybody by surprise.
Well, if you asked Nancy Creedman, she would say she wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised. I've been doing domestic violence work for 20-something years. But I agree with you that most people found that really surprising, that to have such a consistent rate across all 10 campuses, that wasn't true with the other forms of gender-based violence or sexual harassment, to be that consistent. And, you know, frankly, to be that high. So it is troubling, but, you know, we looked at behaviors both on and off campus. Well, many of these behaviors may be occurring off campus. It's our responsibility to ensure that students are supported and make sure that they get their education. So now we know more mental health resources. We have this great collaboration with Domestic Violence Action Center. I don't know if the community knows, we have their advocates positioned on a number of our campuses on Oahu. So students can go directly to them if they don't feel comfortable going to a university official.
I think people are saying, all right, great, we have a baseline, and what do we do about it? So is there a plan going forward? You mentioned that eyes are just now focusing on this study because it's just been officially released. And so there hasn't been time to really set up maybe a system and a game plan, like, okay, deadlines. You know, each campus comes up with their own ideas on how to address what's happening in their area. But what happens going forward?
Well, actually, we have set up exactly that. I think you articulated that so well. We've met with the chancellors at all of the campuses, and they are designating one person to take the lead with action planning. Most of them will designate their Title IX coordinators because they are responsible for climate on their campus, and they have already done so. And we're meeting with them in just a couple of weeks to start the action planning process. So they will choose one or two priorities. Many of the campuses may say the same thing. Domestic violence, this is you know, clearly a problem. We haven't prioritized this. Other campuses may look at some of the programming that they're already doing that's successful and find ways to build on it. So that's what I'm looking forward to. This is just the beginning. I've been waiting for this moment to actually have this dialogue. I'm really interested in what kinds of program development. The other interesting thing, too, Catherine, is that the majority of students, overwhelming number, said that they thought that the survey was extremely useful or helpful in improving policies. So we want to make sure that we make good on that promise to the students and look at how we can improve. And I'm not just talking about our specific sexual harassment policy, but broader. What's our policy development around mandatory training, for example? You know, what's our policy around the amount of training that students should receive at orientation? So those are the kinds of things that we're going to ask the chancellors to look at. They are expected to have their action planning process done by early summer.
Okay, and then what about funding? Because if we boost the access to mental health counseling or help that students might need, where's that going to come from?
Right. That's a great question. It's a fair question. I don't know exactly the answer to that. I know that beyond the campus's capacity, the system and my office has some capacity to do system-wide training, but otherwise we may be going to the legislature. We have done creative things. For example, our collaboration with the Domestic Violence Action Center is through VOCA money. It's through federal money, so the university is not paying for that. It's being paid by the federal government through a nonprofit that is providing the resources and the expertise. And we've also built collaborations with nonprofits to do domestic violence and sex assault work across all the neighbor islands. So we hope that somehow we can bolster our community partnerships, but not in a way that takes away from their resources. And hopefully we'll have to go back to the legislature.
Do you think this whole After Me Too campaign will help because it's on a national stage?
Yes, I think there are a lot of students that are interested in, and there are some that have already contacted me or our office. I've talked to some folks yesterday, in fact, who said they were just waiting to do something. And so I think a lot of student activists want to be involved, engage in this process. I think the fact that there is a lens, on sexual harassment. It's something that I always thought was important for us to address. And I don't want to take away anything from any of the other forms of violence. I think it's also important for us to take a close look at stalking and domestic violence. But I think that momentum is going to help. And I think that people are already engaged and starting to have a better analysis. And I think we have to pay close attention to the power dynamic.
Correct. Because if power and control is at the core of this,
yeah.
The structure of academia, and we've seen other studies point to a number of cases or reports that deal with graduate students and tenured faculty.
Yes. And, that's the case. It's not just in Hollywood, right? It's a case across the board. Anytime that there is that kind of power differential, there's always the opportunity for that abuse of power. And like I said earlier, if they are our employees and we have a responsibility to ensure that kind of advantage is not being taken. And, for example, we have a policy on consensual relationships. And looking at that power differential, maybe as a result of this dialogue, we have to look at strengthening it or changing it. That'll be a really interesting conversation to have. I'd like to hear from faculty members as well and what they think. And there are a lot of really great faculty allies in this. Someone who wrote me already said, these stats are kind of grim, but I'm really happy that you did this. Let's just be honest about what's happening and see how we can start addressing this through better programs and training.
Okay. And so let's see what comes forward in the summer. And hopefully we can have you back on again.
Yes, that would be great.
And continue this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you. That was Jennifer Rose, the director of the University of Hawaii's Office of Institutional Equity.